Second Chronicles chapter 16, verse 16. The eyes of the Lord go to and fro across the face of the earth, looking for somebody that he can show himself mighty through. Amen and amen. And I want you to know that. Praise God. We are reminded here of our last service here. We had to say goodbye to our deacon, our brother, our friend. And parting is such sweet sorrow. And he cannot return to us, but we can go to him. Amen. Does anybody need a word of direction tonight? If you do, stand up, and I'll try to minister to you. And if you don't, we won't worry about it. I'm not worried about it.
Pastor, would you pray for Brother Paul?
Yeah, I will pray. We prayed several times, but we'll pray some more. Yeah. We love Paul. You know, I just saw him. Let me tell you something about life, everybody. I just saw him a few hours ago. And Sherry, did he look bad to you?
No.
You saw him. You saw him. Yeah. You what? Yes. I shook his hand. And you know, everything here is temporary. I want you to know that. Very, very temporary. And let me just try to open my heart and pray to the Lord. And you follow with me if you could agree. Father, what do we say to the one true God? Our beloved Paul is on his way to Little Rock, to UAMS. And Father, we know that you hold the key of death, hell, and the grave, and everything in between, including healing, healing through doctors, healing through medicine, and healing through divine empowerment.
Amen.
Father, we just ask whatever you can use, what you think is best, heal our Paul and bring him back to us. It would be such a joy. We delight ourselves in you. We believe that you will give us the desires of our heart. And us here tonight, we desire to come back, Paul, come back with a good report. Paul, be healed in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. It doesn't matter how he's healed.
Amen, amen.
I have nothing against doctors or medicine because the Bible doesn't. The one who wrote the book of Acts, the one who wrote the book of Luke was a doctor, okay? Medicine is mentioned from Genesis throughout the whole Bible, okay? So, praise God. And there were some folks that stood up here for direction. Is that right? Okay. I'm going to come over there. And I would like Carson, Paul, and Colton to come with me. Each of you get a microphone. Here's one microphone here. And just kind of tell us. And is that microphone on, son? You know how to turn that on? I think it is on. And tell us what you need, and your church is going to pray for you.
Direction for my life, because I really don't know which way I'm going.
I'm not hearing this green microphone. You got to hold it up closer.
I don't really know for sure where I'm going. Or what I'm doing. I'm just very mixed up right now. And I would like direction.
Yes, okay. And that's still not working, right? She's got it on.
Is it on?
Yeah. Let me make sure. Yes, it's on. Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you something. You said, we know this, everybody. God is not the author of confusion, but it does have an author. It is the enemy. Be sober, be vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Lions hunt and get their prey by inciting fear, the fear to run, the fear to move in wrong directions. So we know that. And God is saying to you tonight, be still. Psalm 46:10. If you can find some time, if both of you, you should both together find time in the Word, first thing in the morning when you wake up, and seek God together. This is what holy men of old did. We see that in the book of Acts, where they all got together and the Word said, and as they worshiped the Lord, hear me now, as they worshiped the Lord, the Holy Spirit spoke to them. And that's what we need when we need direction. Okay. And there's nothing worse than not having direction in this life, because you can end up at the wrong place at the wrong time. And we don't want that. We don't want that at all. So we are all here. All of us love you. And Kelly, do you have anything you'd like to say, sweetheart? Okay. You just sit tight then. They're tired. And you boys, come over here and lay hands on Joe and lay hands on Brenda. And Father, we just pray for Joe and Brenda. They answered honestly, unafraid. They said, I need help from God. Lord, I just pray. I just loose your power to help Joe and his mom. Lord God, you've helped a lot of sons and mothers throughout history. You have a heart that loves mankind, whom you have redeemed at a great price. Thank you, God. Let us hear soon that Brenda and Joe get a sense of direction from God Almighty, from you, Lord. In Jesus' name, help them. Amen and amen. Amen. Thank you for letting us pray with you, Brenda. And boys, come back up there. There's no telling what else we'll get into in here. You okay? Y'all okay? You want to hear some word? Okay. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's somebody that I know that is okay, and he's sitting right here. Jesus is okay. There was a song in my generation that went like this. Jesus is just all right with me. Jesus is just all right. Okay. Anybody remember that song? Yeah. Amen. 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 It was the truth. When I die and they lay me to rest, gonna go to the place that's the best. This is what I remember when Gucci passed away. Going up to the Spirit in the sky. Amen. I'm going to begin to read at John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 in the NLT, if we have it here, up on there. And if not, I'll just read it out of the King James. John chapter 1, verses 1 through 5 in the NLT. I'm going to get it ready in the King James, because I'll tell you what we've committed ourselves to do here. I'm committed to you on Wednesday to be out of here as close to 8 o'clock as I can. And the Lord said, Angelo, I have put a new power in you, a new ability, and it's the ability to say what you mean in a few words, and words that will help folks. Now, did anybody time Brother Charles' funeral? My part wasn't very long, was it? No. How many of you got something out of that? Mm-hmm. Boy, I sure did. The part I liked best when I said this. Some preachers believe all people are going to heaven. And then I said, now everybody look at me. I don't believe that. I don't want any of you to believe that, because that is a falsity, okay? Now, and when I say I believe somebody went to heaven, I said that about Brother Charles, because I believe that. Could I be wrong? I guess so, but can I tell you something? Brother Charles was in my life for 40 years. Amen. All right, we are in John chapter 1. In the beginning, The Word already existed. The Word here is Jesus Christ. You'll see as we read. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Bible teaches the Trinity, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are all God. You'll notice in Genesis 1, 26 and 27, they said, let us, not I'm gonna, they said, let us create man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion. And we have dominion. One of the things you haven't been told enough is you have dominion against the attacks of Satan that come on your life. You have dominion. What that means is if you will apply what God has given you, you win every time. All right. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now, Mike, we're going to go down a few verses, and we're going to read in the same chapter, verse 11 and verse 12, and I'm going to read them in the King James Version of the Bible. And this is what it says about Jesus. He came to his own people, and his own would not receive him. They received him not. Now listen to this. This is where you and me come in there, if this is you tonight. But as many as received Christ, everybody that receives Jesus, all, anybody that can be honest with Jesus and say, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I was born a sinner. I was born in need of being born again. Father, save me. As many as received him, he gave them power to become the children of God. Even to them that believe on his name. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. At the name of Jesus, every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord of all. When will that happen? The crescendo will be on Judgment Day, when the small and the great will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and the books will be opened. And we will all be opened. We will all be judged by what's in those books. And then there's another book called the Lamb's Book of Life. And everyone whose name was not found in the Lamb's Book of Life was cast into the lake of fire. It's real important that your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. And I'm telling you, you see this? Death met our beloved deacon. The Word of God teaches throughout the whole Bible, especially in Paul told the Corinthians, death is the enemy to mankind. It is never a friend. It was never intended in Genesis chapter 1 and 2. It was not intended that mankind should ever die. But we ate of the wrong tree, and we all followed that bloodline, and God the Father said, in the day that you eat of that fruit in the middle of the garden, you will surely die. And they ate it, and immediately they could see things that they couldn't see before, because they were reduced to being their life being by the five senses, by what they could see, hear, feel, taste, and smell. And you know what? That's not enough. That's not enough ammunition. That's not enough power to get by in life. That's why we just prayed for Brendan Jody. See, even the animals live by what they can see, hear, feel, taste, and smell. And it's not enough. It's not enough for mankind. We were created to be inundated and led by the Spirit of God and to make decisions by the Spirit of God. Jesus taught mankind to pray after he was asked to. Jesus, three times in the book of Revelation, is called the Alpha and the Omega. Three times. Jesus is the beginning and the end, just like God the Father and just like God the Holy Spirit. Here's just a few things in the Gospel of John that Jesus is called. In John 4:26, Jesus is called the Messiah. That in the Hebrew, that means the Holy One, the Chosen One, the Savior. In the Greek language, it's Jesus the Christ. It means the same thing. That's in John 4:26. He is called the Messiah. In John 6:35, Jesus is called the bread of life. In John 8:23, Jesus is called the one from above. In John 8:58, Jesus is called the eternal one. To be called the eternal one means that he always was. See, we're going to a place where there's no more need for, nor there is time anymore. We're going into eternity. That's where God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit dwell. They dwell in eternity. That's why the word says, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as a day. It doesn't matter to him. And you know what I've seen in life? I've seen people try to take their time with things they should have hurried up and made a decision about. And I've seen so many people run out of time. Every time I do a funeral, I deeply remember that. And I do everything. I say, Father God, is there anything I could say that somebody might hear that might help them today? The last time I did that was with Brother Charles, and my message from the Lord was, in no way, shape, or form do I believe we're all going to heaven. That is totally against this Bible and every intelligent religion. Nobody believes that, really. Now, people try to... Now, I'll tell you what I don't believe in. It's picking on people when you're doing their funeral and they've died. I don't care what they did. I don't believe in doing that. I believe that we should comfort people, give people hope if we can. But when you hear me say that I believe this person is in heaven, I really believe that. And when you don't hear me say that, there's a good chance I really don't know. I mean, if somebody asked me and if they were in need and if God told me, I would preach a funeral for somebody I don't even know. But there would be limitations on what I would say, of course. In John chapter 9 and verse 5, this is just out of the Gospel of John. Jesus is called the light of the world. In John chapter 10 and verse 7, Jesus is and said he was the door that leads into a life with God, a life where you go to heaven. He is the door. In John chapter 10, verses 11 and verse 14, Jesus is known as the Good Shepherd. Now, what is a shepherd? Well, it's a Savior makes a good shepherd because he leads people. Let me tell you the difference between God and others. He leads. He doesn't drive. We are not cattle. We're little lambs to him. He comes out in the forefront of us, and he leads us. And if we spend a lifetime of not following the shepherd, I am sure you will be cast into the lake of fire. I have no question about that. If I believe the word, and I have since 1971, how much of it do you know? Very small amount. How much do you know more than most people? A whole bunch. Let me tell you something. I'm fascinated by God. I'm fascinated by his word. It is timeless. What he said about the future, you read books like Timothy, Revelation, anything about the end of times, it sounds like today. It sounds like what's happening today. How did he do that? He's God and there's nobody like him. In John chapter 10 and verse 36, the word says that Jesus is the Son of God. In John chapter 11, verse 25, Jesus is called the resurrection and the life. In John chapter 13 and verse 13, Jesus is called the Lord and Master. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus is called, he said of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John chapter 15 and verse 1, Jesus is called the true vine. Now, the people that's hard to deal with, can I tell you something? It's people that don't believe the Bible. Or they don't know the Bible. How do you talk to somebody like that? You know what I do? I don't say very much to people like that. Because if they're about to be saved, they're drawn to me. I have a soul winner's anointing on my life. I don't have to go out on it. Well, I'm going on a soul winning bus tour. No, all I have to do is get up and go. I remember not long ago where brother was on the porch with me and helping me, and all of a sudden that knock, I could hear it. And I said, brother, I believe Jesus is knocking on your heart's door. He said, he is. Could I introduce you to Jesus? Do you want to say yes to that knock? Yes, I do. Happens all the time. It's happened since this. And I led that young man to the Lord. And he said, Brother Angelo, could you do one more thing for me? Would you take me to that secret place that you swim and baptize me there? I said, yes, I will. The same day, just like an experience, just like Philip in the book of Acts with the Ethiopian eunuch. And he was reading, Philip was ministering to him out of the book of Isaiah. And they came to a place where the eunuch said, well, here's water. What's preventing me from getting baptized and saved right now? Peter said, nothing. How did Philip end there up there? Well, he was translated there. I was translated here from Modesto, California. We were brought here. And God put an anointing on my life. And if you came in here looking to be mad at somebody or offended, you can sure do it with me, because everything I touch, God prospers. Everything. And his gifts and callings that are on my life, as I have done good and as I have also failed at times, the gifts and callings are still there. And it humbles me. God didn't win me by fear. God won me by this. I didn't have a dad I didn't eat every day when I was a kid. But when I met the Lord, when the Lord saved me, he became my shepherd, as he was David's shepherd. And he's protected me and watched over me and empowered me. And every day I am literally ready to go be with him. I'd rather be with him. That's what Paul said. But for somebody's sake here, I'm still useful for a handful of folks. And that's good enough for me. And I'll live here as long as it pleases my Lord, as long as it pleases God. But when I die, please, if I die before you, know this. I'd rather be with God. Ain't nothing holding me here but God. Son, stay a little longer. Son, I've got some other things for you to do. And if you knew God like I knew God, if you know God like I know God, you feel the same way. If you're honest with yourself, you'd rather be with God. Ain't nothing better. Why? Because everything changes. Everything changes when we're with God. I like what it says in the book of Revelation. You know what it says? You know, one of the things I constantly pray for, I prayed for Paul for this today. Pain. Tears. Regrets. The word says at the end of the book, we're going to a place where there is no more pain. There is no more sorrow. And it says he will wipe away all of our tears. Now, I believe that. I also believe that he has our tears stored up in vessels. Tears that we pray about our own life and the lives of our loved ones. I'm going to tell you something. I've already explained why. The Lord's Prayer, by far, is the most powerful, accurate, important, useful prayer in the whole Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, because it was given to us by God. And what he is saying is, through the Lord's Prayer, is, this is what I want. This is what I want from you. And the Lord's Prayer covers certain specific topics that we are going to cover. When? How long? I don't know how long it's going to take. I'm not in a rush because, see here, in a few minutes, we're taking communion wherever I am, and I'm just going to pick up after right there. And we're going to go on from there, and we're not going to hold you up. Given to us by God the Son, the most accurate, meaningful, effective prayer that you can pray. All other prayers in the Bible are written by men, good men, holy men of old. All of the Old Testament is a foretelling of Jesus the Messiah, the Savior of the whole entire world. All of it, everything. You can preach from any part. Here we are, Moses, before Pharaoh, tell the people to take blood. Put it on the doorpost entrance of their house. I'm going to pass over. Death is going to be there when I do. But when I see the blood, glory. When I see the blood, what blood? The blood of animals? No. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. There's only one. There's only one Jesus. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him, if you believe in him, put your hand up now, you will not perish. That you will not, those that believe in him will not perish. Everybody with your hand up, you're going to receive eternal life. If you keep it up, if you keep it up your whole life, if you keep it up when you're tempted, if you keep it up when you're attacked, when you keep it up under every circumstance, when you put others first, hallelujah, that those that would believe on him would never perish but have everlasting life. Nobody can take that away from you. Whatever you're crying now, you won't be crying about it just a little bit. Just a few more blessed days and then I'll fly away. Hallelujah. That's where I'm going. That's the hope that's deep inside of me. All of the New Testament also is about the Son of God. If a person studies and prays the Lord's Prayer, they pray everything they need to worship and interact with God the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. For this reason, Lord's Prayer is and always be the most important prayer in the Bible, because it came out of the Savior. It came out of that cross. It cannot be denied. It cannot fail. The Bible says there are certain promises that cannot be broken to whosoever. Whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you meet the criteria of this book and my job and others like me, we are here to stay close to what God has to say. Because if we don't, and Pastor Kelly says this too, we know we'll be judged. We can't just get up here and say what we want to. We have to say what God wants to. And like the faithful Bereans, if you read about them in the book of Acts, they didn't just take Paul's word for it. They went home and studied the scriptures to see if it was so. Read the Bible. See what it says about the Bereans. They were called blessed people. See, it's not enough to hear somebody. If I share something, or anybody else shares something that sounds good to you, I've really been impressed with my daughter's preaching. Haven't you? Now, I know I could be a little bit prejudiced, but man, I'm just calling it like I see it. She's preaching the word right on, man. And you know what? She's learning not to be afraid to tell you the truth. Because according to Ephesians chapter 4, people like us, what we do is speaking the truth in love. She speaks the truth to you because she loves you. She was like this when she was 7 years old. When we would go to the nursing home, she was a little bitty thing. And Millie, when you was the director of nurses, you remember that? Mildred Florenciano? She had her people. She'd go to their room. What would she do? She would do what her son does. She'd pray with them, make them laugh. I remember one time we were at Walmart. Bless God, and I had Kelly in my shopping cart. And there was an older person, and they had a look on their face like they were having a rough day. No, they'd probably had 10 or 12 rough years, and they looked like they were upset about it. And I watched Kelly. Kelly was like this here in that cart. She was looking. And when that lady got right up to her, Kelly did this. She got right in her face like this and went. And I swear that lady laughed. Kelly's been changing people's lives ever since. Where do you find people like this? God makes them. When they come to Jesus at 7 years old, and they say, I'll do whatever you want and go whatever you, I'll do whatever you want. God makes them. We're here. She's here also to bless you. Last place tonight. Carson and Colton, tonight I want you guys to serve communion, and I'll tell you why. It is a symbol. Look at me. Of what I want to happen and what I think God wants to happen. I think he wants you two to work together in life, in the things of God. Now, I can't make that happen. I might not be here and say, Papa, you was wrong. But that's what's in my heart. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 in the King James Version. Luke chapter 11, verses 1 and 2 in the King James. If we can get it up there, if not, I can sure get it over here in just a moment. If anybody sees it, go there. Tell me. Is it there? Luke chapter 11. I'm sorry. Yes, chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Says this. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, please teach us to pray as John the Baptist taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, okay, I'm going to teach you how to pray. This is the most purest, right on, correct prayer in the Word of God. When you pray, say, Our Father. We're going to start. We're going to take off right here next week. Now, My Father. There's a way to pray this when you pray it by yourself. And you need to pray this prayer by yourself sometime. And it'll go like this. Boys, come up here. You'll pray, My Father, which is in heaven. My Father, see, not our Father. The more personal you get with God, if you mean it, he's going to change your life. My Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give me this day my daily bread, and forgive me my trespasses as I forgive those who trespass against me. And lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. For thine is the kingdom, for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And my goal is to get you to begin to pray that prayer very personally, in just you and me version of that prayer. My Father. Take a moment. Take a quick moment. Get your heart ready for communion. Father, our hearts be ready. Our hearts be ready, Father, for communion tonight. Just given to